The Deadbolt Mystery Society presents The Warwick Recordings, a story about secrets and how they are uncovered in a strange neighborhood in an even stranger town.
Welcome back to the Warwick Recordings. This is episode 7, and I'm Knox Carter. So many things had happened in the span of 24 hours. I'd stumbled upon a secret behind the wall of my house, been threatened in the middle of the night by a shadowy stranger who left an eyeball at my door, bullied my realtor into revealing the names of the house's previous owners, found a secret passageway leading to a series of tunnels below my house, and found the sanctuary of the Owl King. It sounded like a plot to one of my novels, but it was so much more than that. This was real life. And now I was about to attend a dinner party thrown for me by someone I had known less than a full day. The strangeness of everything truly occurred to me, and I thought my previous life was exciting. It didn't have anything on the new life I'd stepped into. What was worse, I was about to be introduced to a new woman that I had no interest in meeting. In some ways, that was much more frightening than all the other things. I wasn't ready for romance. I wasn't sure if I had ever been ready for it, truth be told. Maybe when I was a different person. Certainly not now. I wasn't hanging on to feelings for my ex-wife, Cindy. It wasn't that at all. I really didn't feel much of anything where she was concerned. Although I had reasons to, I didn't hate her. I didn't love her either. I didn't care much one way or the other. I was numb to her, indifferent. I wanted to move on with my life and let her move on with hers, and hope that we would never cross paths again. The speed with which the feelings left me made me question how deep and real they had even been to begin with. Maybe I was better off alone. Virginia Barker, however, didn't seem to share that sentiment. No doubt her niece, Allie, was going to make an appearance at this dinner party. Which was all fine and good, but what if Allie wasn't my type? What if she wasn't pretty at all? What if she had an off-putting personality or an off-putting face? Looks aren't everything, but they are the starting point by which you usually start a romantic relationship, or don't. I hoped and prayed that she wasn't one of those girls who had a face for radio. Virginia seemed like a nice lady. I wasn't ready to make an enemy out of her just yet, although she did seem to have some ties to all of this, given what Becky Falk had told me about the attack against them being related to keeping Harold alive. I still didn't understand what that meant, but it was a link in any case. I didn't think Virginia would take too kindly to me dismissing her niece out of hand, though. I would at least have to feign interest in getting to know her and then come up with some technicality on why I couldn't possibly date her. If she was single and in need of being fixed up by her Aunt Virginia, then there had to be a reason why. Of course, I was also single through no fault of my own. Maybe her situation was similar. Or maybe none of this was exactly how Virginia was portraying it to be. I wasn't ready for any of this. Still in a daze from such a long, hard sleep, I quickly jumped in the shower, brushed my teeth and hair, put on some deodorant, splashed on some cologne, and threw on some clothes that might be appropriate for a dinner party. Then, as prepared for this as I would ever be, I headed next door and rang the bell. Virginia Barker answered almost immediately. She smiled at me and welcomed me in. I could hear a conversation deeper in the house. "I'm so glad you made it, Mr. Carter," Virginia said to me. "You're the last one to arrive." "That doesn't make me look very good, does it? I live next door and I'm late." "Oh, nonsense," she said. "The guest of honor is always allowed to be late. Now, follow me. I've got some people I want to introduce you to." Reluctantly, I followed her into the back of the house, fully expecting to meet her niece first. Almost involuntarily, I smoothed the lapels of my jacket, wanting to make a good first impression, even though I really wanted to make no impression at all. 5 people took up the den. 4 of them were older, like Virginia. One of them was a young woman, Allie. I breathed a sigh of relief when I confirmed she was in fact quite beautiful. At least there was that. It would be easier to talk to her if my interest was real and not an act. Yet it was an old man that Virginia led me over to first. He had thick, blocky glasses, was short and heavy-set, and sort of reminded me of the human version of a bulldog. He scowled at me, but I got the impression that that expression was just how he looked at people, and not necessarily a reflection of his feelings one way or the other. The man's name was Bob. From there, she introduced me to everyone else. The bearded man with silver hair and icy blue eyes was Carl. The little lady with the tight perm and horn-rimmed glasses that bore some resemblance to Sophia from the Golden Girls was introduced as Etta. The lady that used a walker was Mary. Mary looked like she wasn't doing very well. She definitely didn't seem like she was up to attending a dinner party. We all exchanged pleasantries, and then, with some fanfare, Virginia led me over to the cute brunette sitting on the sofa. The girl had a beautiful smile, dark silky hair, and deep brown eyes that caused me to melt the minute she looked my way. "Knox, this is my niece, Allie," Virginia said, making her introductions. "Pleased to meet you," I replied. "Your aunt has told me about you." "Oh, no," Allie said playfully. "I'm scared to ask what she said about me." "Only good things," I said. "Oh, that's a relief. Aunt Jenny told me about you, too. Would you like to have a drink with me? Maybe we could go out on the porch and talk a little while." "Aunt Jenny, would that be okay?" "Of course, dear," Virginia said with a smile. "You and Knox should chat a bit while I go get things ready. Dinner will be out in 15 minutes. I'll head off to the kitchen now and leave you two alone." It was at that moment that Virginia headed out to the den to finish up dinner, which left me free to say what I needed to. "Allie, before we go much further, how much has your aunt told you about my current situation? You said she had talked about me some. I know you just got divorced and you aren't looking for anything serious, but you and I should really talk on the porch. Would you be up for that?" "I suppose so, sure," I said. Allie grabbed us drinks and left me standing there, wondering what I was about to get myself into. She was beautiful, gorgeous in fact, but was this wise? I didn't need to get involved with anyone right now. I wasn't ready to date again, and I certainly couldn't bring myself to fall for someone at the moment, given the events of the last 24 hours. That would have been irresponsible. Still, I figured there was no harm in talking. As it turned out, once we reached the porch, drinks in hand, the conversation went a completely different way than I had expected. Allie cut right to the chase. "We need to talk so that no one can hear us," Allie whispered forcefully. "You're in danger." What do you mean?" "Everyone who lives in that house dies before they figure out what's going on. The number of people who have lived there and either died or disappeared is now well over a dozen." "The last couple who lived in my house are still alive," I said. "They weren't supposed to be," Allie said. "That's why Harold died. And now Mary's not doing well. That's why they've already started with you, even though you've only been here a couple days." "What do you mean that's why Harold died?" I asked. "You're talking about Harold, as in Virginia's dead husband and your uncle?" Allie nodded. "Yes. You might also know him as the previous owner of that eye you were given." "The eye belonged to your dead uncle?" I said, incredulous. Allie nodded. "They kept that part of him to threaten the next owner of the house. Now that Harold has passed away, Mary's next in line. She doesn't have long left in this world. You're the key to that." "Me?" I asked, confused. "Yes, with your help, Mary will be brought back to health. They'll offer you in exchange for her." "They?" "The disciples." "You're speaking in riddles," I said. "Can you clarify what's going on here? They're going to kill you if you stay in that house. Is that clear enough for you?" "I've read the rules and that's what they indicate. I'm also supposed to beware of the Owl King. Should I follow the Yellow Brick Road while I'm at it?" "This isn't a joke, isn't it? You don't know me and you probably think I'm crazy. It isn't necessarily in my best interest, but I'm going to help you stay alive." "I can take care of myself." "You're in over your head. The hunters will be coming for you soon, and when they do, you need to be ready. They're moving quicker than usual because time is of the essence. What I would advise is for you to stay in a hotel tonight. Go now. I'll tell my aunt you started feeling sick. I can be convincing when I need to. That'll buy you enough time to get away." "I'm not running away," I insisted. I bought that house, and that's where I'm going to spend the night. I was afraid you were going to say that. You're going to have to see for yourself that the warnings are true. By then, of course, it may be too late. But you can't say I haven't tried to warn you. I found a secret passage in my home, in the library. It led down to a series of tunnels that run through the neighborhood. I blockaded the door there. They won't be able to sneak into my house that way again. There are other ways. What is this all about? What do these people want? Tell me. Okay, here's what's really going on. Virginia interrupts and Allie immediately goes quiet. Dinner is served, you two. I hope you're getting along splendidly. Your niece is lovely, Miss Virginia. This time, Virginia didn't leave the two of us alone. She held the front door for us, forcing us to end our conversation. Allie looked at me knowingly, and I suspected that she and I would talk again in the future. But for the moment, we went to the table and had dinner. My mind was spinning from everything that had happened. The fact that Allie seemed to want to help me made the whole thing seem even more real. Not just the sort of thing you might watch in a horror movie. The dinner was filled with light conversation. Bob asked me about my writing process. Etta told me about the neighborhood and filled me in on things like what day trash was taken, when the mailman normally delivered, what times UPS and FedEx made their stops, etc. Carl spent most of his time complimenting Virginia on the dinner and on the way she looked. I think he might have been sweet on her. Mary didn't say much at all. She simply shoveled forkfuls of mashed potatoes into her mouth and looked at me curiously, like she would rather be eating me instead of the spuds. Allie went out of her way to interject herself into every conversation, unwilling to make it seem like anything was amiss. For the briefest of moments, I had just about convinced myself that all the weirdness I had experienced was imagined weirdness. Then Carl got up to get himself a refill from the bar. I noticed that he walked with a slight limp. I studied him for a moment, watching his gait, and the longer I looked at him, the more certain I became of one thing. Carl was the man who had broken into my home the night before and left me an eyeball in a gift box. I'll tell you more about that and the cult next time. Until then, this is Knox Carter for the Warwick Recordings.
The Warwick Recordings are presented by the Deadbolt Mystery Society. Written by Jason Brannan. Edited by David Alderman. Narrated by Glenn Payne. Sound designed and mixed by Glenn Payne. Executive producers Jason Brannan and Sean Brannan. You can support us by reviewing the Warwick Recordings on the platform where you found us and by sharing this podcast with others. If you enjoyed the Warwick Recordings, we think you would also like our puzzle-solving mystery games, which are found at deadboltmysterysociety.com. Thank you for listening. Until next time.